This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. Starting things off with Harvest Hotline, sponsored by the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Kelly Bean Company Hatton manager Dean Nelson says dry bean harvest has been going well. Weather has slowed down harvest progress, though.
Well, we've been at harvest. We started the last week in August here in Hatton. So we've had a good run of harvest. This week's been a little slower with a couple showers we've had and the cloudy days and the fog. But we've made very good progress on our pinto bean harvest. I was adding up my numbers today. I think we're probably close to 75% done now on our pintos and about 40% done on our black beans.
Besides some split beans, Nelson says the crop has been in good condition.
Quality has been very good. We've been maybe a little on the dry side. We're seeing maybe a few more splits. And maybe the general profile of the beans are a little bit smaller because of the dryness that we've had throughout the growing season. But we've had yields anywhere from 1,500 pounds to the acre to 2,800 pounds to the acre, just depending on if you caught a couple showers at the right time or, you were standing under the right cloud at the right time.
Katie Von Waldy says silage chopping is underway for her family's Clay County, Minnesota dairy farm.
We are starting corn chopping here, and that's really my favorite time of the year. All my cousins come back, my brother and sister. We all go to help. We all get together to help cover the silage pile, which takes an army, so it's a very fun time of year.
Some areas are drought stressed, but the overall corn crop is variable.
In our area, you can definitely tell it's very spotty. There are some areas that were fortunate and did get some rain. Others, especially in sandy areas, are dry where things are, being pushed along a lot. So I think harvest is kind of going quicker than you would think. Everything seems to be kind of ready all at once. But as far as the corn silage, moisture is hanging in there, so that's good. But there are definitely parts of the field that are drying down more than you would like.
Near Stephen, Minnesota, Peter Vidston says he's impressed with how early crops yielded with the lack of rain in the area.
Small grains wheat is wrapped up for the year. We finished our edible beans. Because of the dry weather conditions, everybody was doubtful that we're going to get an average crop. But I think overall for the state, it'll be an average crop. And we were very, very fortunate, very happy with what we got. Edible beans, same thing. It was better than we expected. It was impressive how the varieties do with the dry conditions the last couple of years.
Soybean harvest is underway for some, but the crop is still in various stages. Soybean harvest starting early this year.
Soybean harvest is just beginning in our area, and that process will probably take another couple, 3 weeks with uneven crop conditions. I was expecting to start usually around the last week of September, but the hot, dry weather pushed everything a little quicker, and we had about an average planting date, but just the weather over the summer pushed it. I had a good 7 to 10 days, and corn harvest is probably about 3 weeks away. So we're kind of in the middle of harvest, and a little bit of a lull right now, but we're going to get rolling with soybeans here soon.
Canola harvest is just getting started for Minot farmer Pat Murphy.
We're just getting started. We ended up seeding our canola towards the end of May, first part of June, just because it was wet. But, yeah, I'm very happy with the yields and stuff. So, and I'm hearing most everybody else is very happy with their canola yields, too. I haven't heard of any real poor stuff, so we're pretty happy with that.
Some canola has variable maturity.
I think we're going to desiccate a little bit of ours maybe starting Monday, and we had some emergence problems on a couple fields. We'll probably put some desiccant on that, and then I think that's about a 7-8-day deal. Turnaround time on that, so hopefully it'll go good. I'm kind of looking forward to some warm weather coming up here the first part of next week, and then I think it's supposed to cool off and maybe get a little shower or rain or two, but I guess I don't think that'll hurt anything either. So no, we're actually sitting really good, so very happy with it.
Dakota Agronomy Partners, Bow Bells location agronomist Austin Nyhoff says farmers are making good harvest progress.
Barley and wheat, most of that's off for now. And actually there were spots that did better than expected with both. And there are spots that did as expected. We've been running into a lot of lower protein stuff with the earlier seeded wheat and durum. But this later seeded stuff seems like we're getting some protein points back, and they're discounting pretty heavy at the elevators right now, so that's been a challenge.
And the canola crop seems to be pretty variable.
Stuff that's been running 1,300 pounds and stuff that's close to running 3,000 pounds, so it's kind of depending on what kind of soil you got and if you got a shot of rain. And I'd say the most variability I've seen has been in canola with fields that are, there's about 3 to 4 different stages out in the same field, and it's been making it tough for burn down and combining alike, and it's kind of getting to be a hassle, but guys are trying to push through.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, and Amity Technology.
Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zillow says we're seeing a two-sided grain market today.
Exact opposite spread trade nearly compared to the Thursday price action, where it was buy proteins and sell grains. And we are still seeing that buy protein mindset in the livestock sector, Randy, but the soybeans in particular are having a real tough go of it. And I think it really goes back to the relationship in the outside markets between the dollar, some of the economic data, and now the UAW strike and the potential for some lost demand in the crude oil market. I think that's starting to bleed over into the bean oil market in particular.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota Farmers Union Policy Committee Chairman Hank Wannenberg was among hundreds of farmers union members to take part in a D.C. fly-in this week. While meeting with lawmakers, it sounds like an extension of the 2018 Farm Bill is likely, according to Wannenberg.
We're quickly approaching the September 30th deadline to get the Farm Bill approved. There's no chance of that happening at this stage. They're still shooting for getting a Farm Bill drafted by end of the calendar year, but honestly, it didn't sound very optimistic that that's going to happen either. So they're looking more at an extension of the Farm Bill. And there are some things within the Farm Bill that will expire without an extension. They made clear that they're not going to let any of that happen. If they do extend the Farm Bill, they're going to have special legislation in place to make sure that everything that's currently in there will continue to be in there into next year.
Lawmakers are looking at cutting funding, but want to protect certain programs while opening up some options.
They are not interested in any cuts to things like crop insurance. It sounds like that's pretty safe. That's going to stay in there. Some of these other disaster programs that have been especially beneficial to livestock producers, weather disaster programs, sounds like those have been popular and are recognized that they're still a critical component. There's debate back and forth on what to do with ARC and PLC. They're considering potential dual enrollment where you could be enrolled in ARC County and PLC both. So the producer isn't at the mercy of having to basically play the lottery when you pick and choose which program to enroll in.
Minnesota Farmers Union Vice President Ann Schwagerl also participated in this week's fly-in. She's hopeful that lawmakers will maintain the bipartisan nature of the Farm Bill.
For all of the other kind of zoo-like things happening in Washington, D.C., I remain pretty hopeful about the bipartisan nature of the Farm Bill. You know, we build a coalition there in Washington, D.C., across different sides of the aisle to get something done and written that support family farmers and, you know, rural and urban communities. Everyone eats. So I think it's something that, you know, for all the other kind of headlines that we see in the news, seeing and talking to both legislators and members of the administration leaves me feeling cautiously optimistic.
Schwagerl says timing is important, but so is protecting family farmers.
We'd get a better Farm Bill if we could get it done outside of an election season, because I think that just increases some of the partisanship that we'd see in it. So, I, you know, if we can get it done by the end of the year, that would be great. But I, you know, I don't want to see it get done and have it not have strong provisions for family farmers, too. So it's, you know, it's a delicate balance, right? Trying to get one done and also get one done right.
Minnesota turkey growers are be making their way to D.C. next week to meet with congressional and agency leaders. While on the Hill, turkey growers plan to discuss the 2023 Farm Bill, trade, CO2 availability, and transparency, high-path avian influenza program, as well as other labor issues.
The Ag Innovation Campus held its grand opening for phase one of the project this week. Minnesota Soybean CEO Tom Slaneka says the influx of soybean use means better premiums for local farmers.
Well, this crush plant is going to crush 240 ton of soybeans a day, and that's 240 ton of soybeans that won't have to be loaded on trains and shipped to literally China. So those beans are then going to be able to be bought at a good price because basis is less of an effect because it's a local market. The meal is going to be sold to the local livestock producers in order, and it's going to cut their transportation costs. So the more localized your processing, the better your price.
The next phase will include infrastructure updates.
Phase two is going to be an office complex that's going to have laboratories. It's going to have collaborative space, education space, meeting space, and its function is outreach and more science that are necessary to make phase three successful. Phase three will be built on the west side of the plant. There'll be 10 75 by 50 foot research bays that will be leased to companies with new technology that need to utilize both the materials coming off the crush plant, but also the scientific labs that will be built in phase two.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Jeff Beach. Jeff, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
We're taking a look at a cover crop study in Minnesota where they a group called the Environmental Defense Fund kind of aggregated a bunch of cover crop data through the University of Minnesota and a lot of the farm management programs that are in the state and did some analysis of it and is trying to, you know, provide some information for farmers to make sure that the cover crop practices that they might experiment with have a decent chance of penciling out.
Is it something that the University of Minnesota has been doing this research and data for a while, just nobody's collated it?
That's correct. Especially a lot of farmers use farm management programs through some of the technical colleges, and it just hasn't been really analyzed on a statewide level. And so farmers really didn't have to do anything if they were already using that program. They just had to basically sign off on the letting this group use the data. The Environmental Defense Fund made it anonymous, I should say, and you know, so that you couldn't link data to individual farms, and then just kind of did some comparisons on things like whether or not farms that graze cover crops perhaps are more profitable than farms that do not, that are doing cover crops just for soil health purposes. They looked at north versus south. And we visited with a farmer down in Faribault, Minnesota, who's part of the study and has been kind of a leader in using no-till and cover crops down in that part of the state.
Well, Jeff, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Looking at markets, quick wheat is higher, 7 to 10 higher, corn down 4 to 4.5, soybeans 18 to 19 lower, and live cattle and feeder cattle moving higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.